Turn with me back to Ephesians chapter 4. We ended up there, and I wanted to get down through into a little bit of the rest of the fourth chapter and then a few verses of chapter 5. And we ran out of time last week. This is going to be study 158. And the date today, I believe, is December the 13th,
yep.
2017. And our study is still the basic focus has been on the word walk. Sometimes we didn't hit one, but generally when we went through the Old Testament, you find a lot of words that correspond with walk, like run, move, you know, do all the things that you would normally do in those days. But the word walk, when you get into the New Testament, and especially in Paul's writings, the majority of the words, if you look it up in the Strong's, is number 4043. And to kind of refresh our memory just a little bit, 4043 is in the Greek, is peripatheo. And I know I probably didn't pronounce it right, but Greek's a little rough for me. And it means four things: to tread all around, or to have the ability to walk at large. And the third one is to deport oneself. And that essentially means to go on command. If somebody tells you to leave, you better have the forewith to leave, you know. And it is, the fourth thing is to be occupied with walking about. And that's basically traveling by foot. So all of these four things have a pretty compact meaning, to move or to be able to go. And when you pick up with the body of Christ and you're talking about the body of Christ, especially in Ephesians and Colossians, then there is a walk that goes along with your understanding and your faith. And the grace that God gives you in love, that the Apostle Paul says for us to enable each other with what we have, that we can share it with one another, that we might be bound together by this oneness that we find in the body of Christ. Because in Christ, there's going to be oneness. It's not going to be, it's going to be many with one goal in mind. And it's going to be according to what we have been given. But here, on this earth, as I spoke last week, we mentioned it, that the real fact is that Christ is not going to appear without his body. And it's going to be everyone that belongs in that body. There's not going to be anyone that's going to be left out. It's kind of like when the Moses was told to build the tabernacle, the traveling church. And all of these things that went with the church could be folded up, rolled up, put up, and carried along by those that were to carry it from place to place and put it up. And so everybody had a job to do. And so this is the way it is with the body of Christ, that if you have been called into his service and into his body, and you get that understanding and that knowledge, you gain that knowledge to realize and understand that you have been chosen to be in that body, then there is a walk that goes with it. There is a manner of life that is expected of each one of us. Let's go to Ephesians 4, and we're going to start with verse 17 again. I'm just going to read 17, and then we're going to pick up our study in 18. And I want to go through a little bit of 5 if we have time. And it says this in Ephesians 4:17. It's on page 1766 if you've got a companion Bible. And it says this: "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." So here we have these four books that Paul is, when he got to Rome, he was put in his own hired house, and he wrote the first four books. They're the first four letters. And whenever the Jews were set aside, and he says, "We're going to go to the Gentiles, and they'll hear it." So through the understanding of God, Paul set the Jews aside. It was like the clock was unplugged for them. And so now we're dealing with Gentiles. So here in 17, you have non-believing Gentiles. So there is many that are non-believers. There's not that many believers, because when you look at it, it is something that's brand new. It's something that was secret in the mind of God and worked out through God's Son as the last real call that was given to mankind. Any calling that was given to man, the body of Christ, is the last one. Amen. And so therefore, it's new. And so there's not a great number of Gentiles that it really has seen this at this point. But in 18 it says of Ephesians 4, it says, "Having the understanding darkened." Now this is those that do not believe, the Gentiles that haven't heard. "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." So even some that do hear have blindness. And blindness can not only come to the eyes, but it can certainly come to the heart too. It said, "Having been darkened," or away from the light, if you will, because John says when Christ came, he was the light, and he was the truth, and he was the life. And when he talks about Jesus Christ, God's Son, he talks every time that it's mentioned as him moving from place to place, he says he was upright. Everything he done, it was in an upright position. It was just like as if it was at noon. Christ didn't cast a shadow, I don't think. Because in him was truth and light. And if he were to cast a shadow, it would be somewhat darkness. And there was no darkness in Jesus Christ. He is truth and he is light. And we need not forget that. But mankind, when he gets involved and he tells these untruths and he tells these things, then he moves himself into the darkness. Whether he understands the will of God here for this calling or not. But he says, having been darkened there, 18, having the understanding darkened, it's not in the light of Ephesians 1:18, where the eyes of your understanding have been opened, it says. And here it's still with unopened eyes and, of course, unopened heart. Being alienated, that's Strong's 5:26. And an alienated means to be a precipitant. Yeah. To be unpersuadable. And so there's some that we go to and some that you can talk to and you just can't persuade them, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit, and we need to allow the Spirit to work. But we also need to get the groundwork started to where these people might become persuadable.
Yeah, Christ is the life of God.
Right.
If you're alienated from the life, in him is life.
Right.
And he was the light, the truth.
All these things. Yeah. And people just won't accept that. It says, you're unpersuadable from the life of God through your ignorance. Why? Because of blindness. Of the hardness of the heart.
Ignorance by choice.
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And 19 is pretty telling too. It says who, talking about these Gentiles that have this hardness of the heart. It says past feelings. They have given themselves over to what they normally know. Lasciviousness. And that's 766 in the Strong's, and it is wicked or wantonness. Wicked, to be wicked or wanton. Ungodly. And it says to work all uncleanness. To work, to work is a craft. And if you're out in the world and you're doing the things of the world, it's kind of like going to work.
Day in, day out.
You're going to do it day in and day out, and it's going to be, if it's not in the will of God, it's going to be uncleanness and normally with greediness, because a lot of times people depend upon trying to take what the other man has. And I've heard it called lots of things. And one of the things that I've heard for a long, long time is, well, we can grease him out of this. That's a southern slang for meaning we could just take advantage of him and it'll just slide from him to us. And I've heard that a long time, and That's as far as I'll go with that one. It says in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. So in that situation, but yet these, and we can add these there, have not learned. They have not come to that knowledge of Christ that we understand as being members of the body of Christ. So you're not so learned. You haven't learned Christ. You don't, if you're a Gentile in the world without God, you're like an alien on a foreign planet. Verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So if you have heard of Christ, if someone has sat down and explained to you what the calling is today, which is the body of Christ, or if you've been taught or were instructed of him, and you see that word as there, it means even as, the truth is in Jesus. And this is often misquoted, but there is no article there. There's no the in that. So, even as truth is in Jesus. When you come to understand and know what he came for and what he did and how it was worked out, and we realize that truth is Jesus Christ. Verse 22. Amen. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, according to deceitful lust. So here is an order, if you will, that we need to put off or put away and that put away there, it says, concerning. You see the word concerning there? The former conversation. And concerning there is motion, both vertical and horizontal. And it takes in your whole being. So your conversation should be dealing with all of your surroundings and concerning what God has done for us and what he has prepared for us, what he has made for us, what he has given to us, and the example that has been left concerning his son. Because we started out in Ephesians here with the example of Christ and what he gives us with his love and his goodness, so that you put off or put away our former old conversation or a former old way of life. And that life was corrupt. It was ungodly. And it was according to the desire to deceive. This was Satan's era. This is what we inherited. You see, Adam got dominion. And Adam lost dominion. Although he named all things, and he had full control of all things until he got into trouble with God. And we did too, because Satan's era here concerning God is his desire to deceive those that God put here as a new beginning. Started with Adam. And it's all based upon deceitful lust. You know, if we could remove deceitful lust and remove these things concerning what we inherited from Satan, then that gets us to the point to where God can surely use us in a mighty way. Greatly. Okay. You put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the renewing there is saying, I believe. I believe. If you go before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I believe, you can have eyes wide open.
Amen.
And he'll accept that. I know for a fact that he can. Because I was driving down the road, driving an old 61 Ford Falcon station wagon. And he was dealing with me and I said, Lord, I believe. And I knew right then that he had accepted me. I didn't accept him.
Amen.
He accepted me. I had a pack of cigarettes in my pocket. I threw them up on the dash of the car and I never smoked another one. Since 1971. It was the easiest habit I ever tried to break in my life. And it wasn't me. It was the power of the Lord. Okay. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, you got to get that mindset, and the Holy Spirit can do that for you. You can't do it yourself. But certainly, through his power, he can do all things. And so that's not a problem. 24, and that you put on the new man, you see, the old man, if you put the old man away, then there's room for the new man to take over. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the way it works. If you're renewed in your mind and you say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe this because he's paid the price for your sin. And that acceptance is sure. Then we can put on the new man, which is after God. And we can be clothed with. That's what put on means, to be clothed with. It's just like You've changed from a sinful condition. You have changed to a new body that can be used by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And for that work. Okay. Put on the new man. Righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, verse 25, putting away lying. So it calls for a few things that we can leave in the weeds, if you will. Wherefore, going back, or thinking back, to how we were, putting away lying. We don't need to live in darkness anymore. We are members of a body. We're fitly framed together. We're joined to one another as members, one of another. putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. Why would you want to tell your labor, I mean your neighbor, a falsehood? Because generally when you do, it requires another and another and another. It said, for we're members of one another. So if we're members of one another in that way, it's kind of like a family, if you will, when you think about it. It's kind of like a large family, and you can't get away with lying to one of your family members. I couldn't get away with lying to my wife. I never tried it too much, but I finally figured out there wasn't any use. Same way with God. You know, we was going through the Old Testament and we was reading somewhere a couple of years ago in this same series of studies that I'm doing now. And it was talking about the things that you do in your house under your roof. And the things that you do in your house, you know, man, ain't nobody looking. I can do what I want to in my own house. God knows. And he sees.
Amen.
And say, you know, and you can't hide anything from God. You can't hide from God. I can't hide from God. So, you know, this is a situation here that why would you want to even get involved with wanting to tell somebody a lie when the truth is much better, much easier, without any circumstances it goes with. It says, be ye angry and sin not. So he knows we're going to sometimes get angry, because that's the way man's made. You know, you can only be pushed so far. And then the instinct is wanting to push back. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So it says, be ye angry at sinfulness, but not let sin get you. Don't let the sun go down. Don't let the day end come upon your wrath. Take the love of Christ into your bed or into your rest. And I always found that to be the truth with my wife. We tried not to go to bed mad. We tried to resolve our differences before we went to bed. Because you're not promised tomorrow. Would you want to leave this earth? You know, with that situation hanging over you? Or would you like for your mate to leave this old world mad at you? No, you wouldn't want to do that either. Verse 27 also says this. Talking about further. You neither give place to the devil. You do not need to give mind space to the devil. There's just no room with the new man. If you put away the old man, there ain't room for both. There ain't room for both. It's either one or the other. And so, it goes on to talk about it in the next verse. or two. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So he said, there's no use to steal. And many, their livelihood is by taking goods of others. He says, let those that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, let him work. Let him, to steal no more is to be a thing of one's past. If you've done it before, get away from it. It says, but labor with hands in hire. You know, hire yourself out for wages. That's what most people do. Working with his hands the things which is good. It says, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So if it's lawful gain, that is very acceptable unto God. But if it's not lawful gain, it shouldn't be, sent over or give to the one that needs it, even if it's been stolen. If it's been worked for, okay. Stolen, it's not. So that just only makes sense. It says, let no corrupt communication, verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. If it can't build up, not any point in saying it. If it's just so much air, you know, and that's a hard thing because I like to have a little fun and joke around sometimes, which I think, you know, that's one way of relieving stress. But still, you know, up to a point, this is a good thing. 29. Let or allow no corrupt, putrid talk or tales come out of your mouth. Does that sound southern? Yeah, but it's pretty close, I think, here to what's being said. But that which is good to the use of edifying. So, only good is required here for edifying. It is bringing things to a oneness, if you will. And we've talked about this oneness. It's to minister grace unto your hearers. And that's a great thing that we can, through what we know and what we understand about this calling, that we can edify or build each other up in that hope that we have and that we can share it with each other in that way. Verse 30. And it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not there. Grieve is 3076 in the Strong's, and it means to distress or sorrow the Holy Spirit of God. You know, so we can distress or we can make sorrow the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within. It says, whereby ye are sealed, or whereby with this you are filled to the full. In that filling, there is no room for sin. Because if you try to put the Spirit of God and sin together, it doesn't work. It has never worked, will never work. Amen. No room for sin. It says you're sealed until the day of redemption. So, there's no room for sin, and you're sealed until your day of deliverance in finality. That when God delivers you into his body in finality, then you're full. We only now have the earnest of the Spirit. We don't have the full blessing. We don't have the full measure, because I don't think in this body, in the great full measure of things, it wouldn't or couldn't accept it. Because it's made of clay. And it's made of things of this earth. But when we get the full Spirit, that will be heavenly. It will be like his body. So he's not going to put something of clay into his body. So it has to be changed that way. So we're sealed until the day of redemption. The price has been paid for us. We're just waiting on the time that it's redeemed. It's like having a ticket. And when the day comes for you to take that ticket and turn it over to someone for whatever it is that you bought the ticket for, that's redemption. And so when Christ appears in the heavenly with his body, you know that you have given your ticket up for the real thing. It says in 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So I guess we're supposed in this calling the thoughts and deeds that we have be put away. The things of disposition and things of mischief, the things that is contrary to God, we're supposed to put it behind. Paul says, I count all things but dung. When he went and looked at his life, when he went and looked at what he got as a Jew, when he went and looked at what he got all down through life, in Philippians, he said, I count that but dung. It's just a pile of waste. It's no good. But it is to know him. And also this, 32. It says, and be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So kindness, in the last verse of Ephesians 4, it says kindness must prevail in a believer's life. Tender-heartedness and forgiveness, also a must from the example of Christ that we found in the first and second chapter of Ephesians. I like to put it this way, do unto others as you expect the same. That's you know, that may be one of the Ten Commandments or close to it, but it's the fact is that what you do, you should expect the same. And if we all did that, what a wonderful world it would be. Then we get down to chapter 5, and it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." You know, when we as fathers have got children growing up with us, you know, those children, regardless of what it is you're doing, they want to be, a lot of times they want to be right there. They want to be involved. They want to see what's going on. They want to get involved in whatever it is that their dad's doing. I did. I'm looking at my son here now. I know he did. They came up here when I had the shop here, and I guess they learned a lot more than I thought they did. But be ye therefore followers, or be in step. To walk in step in God's will as we're dear children. We need to follow Him as we're just little kids. We need to allow Him to show us or to give us that true example of what it's like. And it will be when He appears there, we appear with Him. It's going to be another learning experience, I think. But remember that we've been asked or told to be followers in step of God's will as dear children, as followers. Walk in love. Great thing here, verse 2. Walk in love as Christ has also hath loved us. So we know what He did for us. He gave His life. He gave His life that the Father gave Him when He laid His glory aside and come here as a one-cell being. And Mary carried Him for 9 months. And He came forth. And He lived to be 33 years old. In those 3 years, from 30 to 33, we have that example of Him in the pages of God's Word. Mm-hmm. And we realize that He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He went to the cross. He took our sins. And He blotted those sins out. And this was our gift because God sent His Son there. Just like He sent His Son to the earth. But He came here to die. And He came here to die for you and I, that when we die, we can have His hope of resurrection again. Because He raised, He came forth from the grave, we can certainly do the same. And that's our gift from God. The greatest gift that man had ever received. Of all of the things that God did for all of the people from Adam on, we have the greatest gift that He could give us. So it says in verse 3, we'll turn the page. We're just about done. We go back. You know, this is alternation and the way the Word is laid out. So we get two or three verses of one look, and then he gives us two or three verses of the other look. He said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So he says, let's leave all that behind. It's just like Paul said, that's just so much waste. It's so much garbage. It's something that we need not even name, because if we name them, it's in our mind. But if we don't think about them, we don't name them, as a saint or a believer, then it's not something that we need to deal with. It says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You know, we talked about that a little bit just a few verses back. The conversation that comes out of our mouth. It says in 4, neither filthiness, this is what I call idle chit-chat. They're jokes. You could just be talking and really turn somebody off by one word of what you say. That's kind of like getting on the internet and tweeting. Filthiness or foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. You got to go out of your way to do it. It's not necessary. It's just, it's something that you can do, but you shouldn't do. And this is what Paul is saying, that it's important. But it says, all of your jokes and all of your foolish talking and all of your funning and jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Prayer is better than any of that. Just stop and say a little prayer. Give thanks to God for what He's given to you. You know, because all things are His.
Amen.
We're just here as partakers. He has allowed us to partake of these wondrous things. And he says in verse 5, and we'll close with this. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So, these fornicators, these covetous people, those who look toward things of others, or idolaters, those that idolize things of this world, which is not any good at all. He says they don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of the Messiah or of God. They're just not going to be any place there in the body of Christ, those kind of people. They're not going to be hooked in. And Christ is not going to be the head of the body that has or holds this sort of situation. So you see, our walk is our manner of life is very important concerning what is written in Ephesians here, and that I think we've pretty much covered all of the walks that we find in Ephesians. Yeah, 5:2 was the last one in there. So we'll pick up next time with those that are in Colossians. And all these are number 40-43 in the Strong's. There's one or two in 1 John and one or two in 2 John. And, well, these four places in Colossians. 1:10, 2:6, 3:7, and chapter 4 and verse 5. And sometimes it's walked, sometimes it's walked, like I have walked. Or sometimes it's walketh. But it's the same. It has the same meaning. 40-43. All these that you find in Paul's writing here concerning the body of Christ is 40-43 that we talked about when we started. So that's what I've got for this afternoon, tonight. And it's a glorious thing that we can open God's Word and read and get understanding there from what is important for Him that gave His life, that we might have that association of being part of that body and the responsibility that we have to hold ourselves in that esteem that would be fitting to be there in His body.
Amen.
It's tough. It's tough. With the worldly thing going on, it's tough. But nevertheless, it is important that we read it, that we study it, that we look at it, and that we can edify one another with the words of this understanding that we need to do it in oneness, because in His body, it's oneness. We all got, or will have something there, but it all makes up one in Him.
Amen.
So thank you for allowing me to read this and to go over it. You don't have to agree with what I said, but again, I didn't write it. Paul wrote it. And he got it from his association with Christ after His deal on the Damascus Road. And it was given to him to bring it to us. And he did a wonderful job, I think, of doing that. And it's not all that hard to understand once you get involved in it. But it's certainly necessary for this understanding to know that it is part of our calling. Thank you so much. God bless you.